Sky has rated the following film as 15, suitable for viewers aged 15 and over.
Searchlights illuminate a podium upon which is written in large gold letters, Fox Searchlight Pictures. Three little silver pots of red, green and blue paint. Three fingers dip into the pots and drag three trails of colour across a black background. The caption, UTV Motion Pictures, is shown. British Sky Broadcasting presents I Think I Love My Wife, starring Chris Rock as Richard, Kerry Washington as Nikki, and Gina Torres as Brenda. It's directed by Chris Rock, who also co-wrote it with Louis C.K., voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. First thing in the morning in a large house in an American suburb. An African-American man in his early 40s with boyish good looks. He has a moustache, wears designer specs, and has just put on a smart white shirt over a vest. Photos of the man and his wife and children are displayed in photo frames throughout the house. In a nursery, a toddler is crying in a cot. The young man goes to him and puts his hands on the child's tummy. There's a photo of the man's wife, an African-American woman in her late 30s with strong cheekbones and a generous smile. She's cuddling their daughter, who's about three. The man picks up his little son. The woman enters the nursery holding the hand of their daughter. She's wearing a white robe and nightie.
You're doing it wrong.
What are you talking about? You don't even know what I'm doing.
I can tell by the cry. Come on, take
care. There are some child's paints left out on a table, a toy dinosaur, and a couple of baskets of dirty washing.
Come on, take care, Ellie. I got this. Go ahead. Hey, my good boy.
There's a photo of the family gathered around Santa Claus in a shopping mall. There are more photos of the kids and a colourful childish drawing of a family. In the nursery room, the woman picks up the little boy.
Aww. Oh, that's my big boy. Oh, yes.
Hi, I'm Richard Cooper, and that's my wife, Brenda. We have two incredible children, Brian and Kelly. We've been married close to 7 years. My wife is beautiful, intelligent, and a great mother. It's the perfect life. There's just one problem. I'm bored out of my fucking mind. Now, I'm sure I'd have a much rosier outlook on life if my wife and I actually had sex, but there always seems to be something wrong.
No, my face hurts.
It's not your birthday.
In bed, Richard leans over and cups his wife's boob. She just stares at him, and he rolls back to his side.
We both work, we're both tired, but that's no excuse. To be honest, I don't know how much more of this I can take.
Richard. Do you think perhaps you work too much?
Oh, no. I work too. I do, but I come home from work, and I have to take care of the kids, and I have to take care of you. And frankly, I'm tired.
Too tired to wear a nice pair of panties?
What's wrong with my panties?
They're huge! You know, the biggest thing on a pair of panties should be the tag. That's all I want to see. Tag and ass!
You see? This is what I'm talking about. You see how insensitive he is?
You know, Brenda, maybe I'd be more sensitive if you'd have sex with me. It seems like the only time she wants to have sex with me is to make a baby.
The only time you want to make a baby with me is to have sex.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's because I'm tired.
Now we're making progress.
He's in his car, then a commuter train.
I hated that therapist. She wasn't married and didn't have any kids. You know, when you're on a plane, you kind of want a pilot with more experience than you. But maybe that's just me. Now, what I can't figure out is how can my wife not have sex with me and then send me out into a world with so many beautiful women? It's like dropping me into the ocean and expecting me to not get wet. I mean, every single woman that I see, I have an imaginary relationship with, like this one. Ah, she's got beautiful lips. But if we got married, how long would it be before I got tired of those lips? How long would it be before those lips called me an asshole? And look at her. What a smile. She looks happy now. But if I was married to her for 8 years, I'd just be thinking about that phone bill. And look at her. Look at those eyes, those cheekbones. She's like a painting. A painting I'd love to mount.
He's wearing a silvery blue tie, dark suit, and a grey rain mac. A New York City morning. He joins the queue to a newspaper kiosk. Then he's strolling along a crowded pavement.
No matter where my head is, when I get to Manhattan, I'm fine. I love the city. Rats and all. I love my job. I'm an investment banker at a mid-sized firm. I'm one of the only blacks at the company. As a matter of fact, there are so few blacks here, I think I know every black person that works for the firm.
Morning, Pam.
Howdy, Mr. Cooper.
He heads past the black cleaners.
Morning, Ron. Morning, Richard.
He gets into a crowded lift. A young black guy in casual clothes and a Jamaican knitted beanie hat enters the lift in front of the suited businessmen. He's swaying as he listens to his personal stereo.
Yo, fuck the cracker, that's what I say. And fuck these bitches that always wanna play. I'm the type of nigga that is never gay. If you fuck with me, I put your head in cake. If you fuck with me, I shoot your moms at your wake. If you fuck with me, you made a big mistake.
Richard enters the reception area of his workplace, dominated by a large logo saying Pupkin and Langford. Captions, work. Richard's now at his desk. He highlights earnings growth rate on a spreadsheet he's looking at. A desk clock shows it's 8:25. He takes a vitamin pill out of a little bottle. He removes one set of designer glasses and puts on another. He heads out of his office to an open-plan area where secretaries and juniors are sitting at cubicle-style desks and approaches a plain-looking blonde woman in her 40s.
Tracy, this is what we're doing today, all right? St. George?
I'm right here. See you later, Mary.
George, your wife is on the phone and Veronica called.
Wife? I don't want to talk to her. Find out what she wants. Call back Veronica. Rich, you want to go over that stuff before Landis gets in?
Sure, just
Morning, everyone. Cooper, how's the Coleman account?
Incredible. The narco funds are up.
All right. Well, let's get to work, people.
George is a sallow-looking man in his 50s with neat graying hair, who wears a gold tie and dark suit and appears in Richard's doorway.
Lunch?
Richard shakes his head.
Well, I gotta ask.
Come on, you know I hate the crowds. By the time you get your food, you gotta come back.
Well, have fun all by yourself. I'm gonna get a quick bite and then get on the Coleman account.
See ya. Hey, I got nothing against George, but I just hate going to lunch at the same time everybody else does. It's just way too crowded. Look at this mess. It's just not the New York that I like. Now at 2, it's a different story. Things slow down. That's when I like to go out. I can eat, or I can go shopping, or I can just clear my head. And I can also watch women and get a good look, because I know I will never see them again. Now, you can't look at a woman in the suburbs. You stare at a soccer mom too long, and they'll post your name on the internet.
He leaves a lift on the men's clothes floor of the department store Saks & Company. His hands in the pockets of his raincoat, he strolls past suited mannequins. A smartly dressed man turns from the desk he's standing at.
Can I help you find something?
Just looking.
Richard continues to head into the department.
Have you seen the new Prada suits?
That's okay. That's okay.
A tall African-American man points a bottle of aftershave at him.
Excuse me, sir. Would you like to try a new fragrance today?
Nah, that's okay. Oh. Hey, don't spray that shit on me.
It's really good.
He's looking at shirts. An attractive young woman with long, wavy brown hair is standing beside him.
Hi, I'm Candy. Can I help you with something?
Do you have this in blue?
You know, I think you should try this green one.
I don't really wear green.
Okay, but this green is hot. Come on, trust me. Let's go try it on.
I'm telling you, I don't like green.
He purses his lips as he appreciates her wiggly walk. In the changing rooms, he's wearing the green shirt.
That looks great on you.
You think so?
Absolutely. It's sexy. I love it.
I just don't like wearing green.
Yeah, but you should start wearing green. I mean, you look really handsome in it. Hey, Lisa, will you tell him how this shirt looks?
Oh, I love it on you. I'm not just saying that.
I think it looks great on you.
Later, Richard enters his house.
Daddy's home.
Daddy's home.
Daddy!
Yeah! Daddy's home.
Going?
Pretty good.
Where's Brian?
Oh, he's upstairs napping. Oh, hey, I've got all these tests to grade, so can you do the dishes today?
Yeah, no problem. Right.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Daddy.
How big is Kelly?
This big.
Yeah. Where's Kelly's ear?
Here.
Where's Kelly's nose?
Here.
Where's Kelly's esophagus?
Kelly looks flummoxed.
Give the kid a break. She's only 3.
Hey, this white kid's in the 3 taking the bar right now.
W-H-I-T-E, please.
Okay, okay. Hey, Kelly, I gotcha. Daddy gotcha. Right upside
the
head.
You went shopping?
Daddy gotcha.
I thought you didn't like green.
Gotcha. Figured I'd get something new.
It's different. It's pretty.
There were days when Brenda and I got along great, but we still weren't having sex. When a married couple stops having sex, at first they complain about it. But after a while, they get used to it. She walks out of the shower, you don't even look, because you know there's nothing there for you. The most dangerous time in a marriage is when the couple accepts that they're not having sex. Speak up, I'm in an elevator.
Richard, there's someone here to see you.
A client?
Waiting on a sofa by his office, a pretty African-American woman with long hair and a red dress.
Nikki? Wow. Nikki True. I haven't seen her in 8 years. She was my best friend's girl. I was crazy about her.
What's wrong? You didn't think you'd see me again?
No, it's not that. I'm just surprised. Wow, you look good, Nikki.
Thanks.
You know, people don't really smoke in offices anymore.
I'm not really a smoker. I'm just trying to lose some weight.
So what's that, a diet cigarette?
I'll put it out.
She puts it out in a plant.
You look good, Richie. It's a nice shirt.
Thanks. So what brings you around, Nikki?
I was in the neighborhood, heard you worked in the area, thought I'd stop by and say hi. That's allowed, right?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. You want to show me your office or something? It's good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Which way? Are these your kids?
Yeah, that's my son, Brian, and that's my daughter, Kelly.
Same mother?
Same mother, my wife, 7 years.
No side kids?
No side kids. I know, it's very white of me.
Richard Marcus Cooper is married. Tied the knot till death do you part.
Mm-hmm. Something strange about that?
Yeah. Not the Richie I knew.
People change.
You happily married?
Yeah, I'm happily married.
No, you're not. You didn't say it right.
Okay, how was I supposed to say it?
I don't know. You're not supposed to think about it. I hear ice cracking.
What?
You ever walk across a frozen river and hear ice cracking? It's the scariest sound in the world.
Hey. My ice is fine. My marriage is frozen solid. You can do a triple axel on my marriage. Oh, one second. Hello? Yeah, come right now.
They leave his office.
Sir, to be completely honest, I do need a favor.
Ah, I knew Nikki didn't come over here for nothing.
Well, I just got back in town and I'm trying to get a job, but I need a reference.
Okay, well, write up a letter, bring it by and I'll sign it. No problem. Whoa, magic. So you just knew I would sign this, huh?
I figured a friend in need couldn't resist.
At the reception desk, Richard signs Nikki's letter.
Good luck.
Thank you.
She starts to leave.
Mr. Married Man.
Even though I hadn't seen Nikki in 8 years, I gotta say, she looked even better than I remembered.
Later, he enters his kitchen.
Kelly.
Hey.
Hey,
honey.
Their little son Brian's in a high chair being fed by Brenda.
I'm almost done with them, and dinner will be ready in a few minutes, okay? Is baked chicken okay?
Oh, you know chicken's great.
All right.
Where's my kiss? Ooh, that's a good kiss. What's up, Brian? Yeah. So how was school?
Oh, you know that test I was giving? I had to give it again. They all got A's. Oh, Allison wants to have a play date this weekend at her house.
Any BLACK kids gonna be there?
A few, not enough. You know, I'm thinking of joining a Mocha Moms group in New Rochelle.
That'll be good.
I gotta do something. Hey, how was work today? Anything happen?
Nothing much. Just work. I'm not crazy. Would you tell your wife about Nikki? But I gotta admit, seeing Nikki got me to thinking, what would it be like to be single again? I mean, if I were single, I wouldn't do all that romance and flowers crap. If I was single again, I would get right to the point. Excuse me, would you like to have sex with me?
Of course I would.
Well, come on!
When you're single, you're never at a loss for words.
Excuse me, can I bite your ass?
For $1,000.
No, come on, let's get biting, bitch.
When you're single, you have nothing to lose.
Come with me to a hotel right now.
Have an appointment.
Yeah, a pussy appointment.
When you're single, you're invincible.
Excuse me?
Get the fuck out of here.
When you're single, you're alone.
I'll fuck you.
And that's why I got married.
He approaches the newspaper kiosk.
When I went to work the next day, being single was the last thing on my mind. I had a lot to do, there was a big client I wanted to bring in, and I needed to be focused.
Then he's standing in his office, speaking on a hands-free headset.
You know what I always say, valuation's an art, not a science.
Hey, wanna go to lunch? I got a plan how we can reel in your tech.
I'm gonna pass on a lunch, but let's talk about it when you get back.
Have fun with yourself.
Walter, listen. I know you're in bed with Cross and Lubitsch, but I'm telling you right now, you're gonna see some things
There's
in the market.
There's that Nikki True online one.
Well, I just want you to know that our doors are always open. All right, take care, Walter. Nikki.
Hey. I got the job.
Good.
So, as a thank you, I was thinking you should let me take you to lunch.
You know, I don't normally do lunch till late.
Well, that's okay, because I'm still in bed, but I could get in the shower and be to you in about an hour.
You know, I got a lot of work to do, Nikki.
But you are going to eat lunch, right? So I'll be there at 2. Okay?
Okay.
Good. Bye.
A courtyard restaurant.
Yeah, excuse me, miss. There's no smoking.
Okay, I'm putting it out. I live on the west side with Teddy. He has a place here in D.C., although most of my stuff is in D.C.
So how'd you meet Teddy from D.C.?
He's a club promoter. I met him out. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So do I know your wife?
I don't think so.
Is she white?
No. Well, why would you ask that?
Don't get offended. Remember that girl you brought to Andre's party?
It was one girl at one party. I go out with one white girl, all of a sudden I'm Prince?
No, it's just a question. I didn't mean anything by it. So do you and your black wife still fuck?
And what's it to you?
It's just curious. Most of the people I know who are still married say that after a while they don't fuck.
So do you love Teddy?
You didn't answer my question.
Because it's none of your fucking business.
I'll take that as a no. So, Mr. Married Man, how did you meet this black wife of yours?
You don't want to know.
No, I do, sort of.
I was coming from a meeting. I was walking by the park, and she was there with her class, this beautiful woman with these kids. I don't know, there was just something really calm about her. And I was like, gotta meet her.
Wow. I guess I was wrong. You do love your wife. I've thought about it. Doing the whole wife thing, having kids. Getting a little old for the club scene.
I don't even know how you do it. Hanging out late, eating cheeseburgers at 4 in the morning.
Come on. You used to love this shit. You just let yourself get old.
I just let myself get bored.
She nods at him with a coy smile.
This was fun. We should do this again.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
The next day, George is heading down a street in casual clothes with his wife and a young boy. There's a sign for Prince Street, where there's a market in progress.
Saturday is the one day I like to sit in my house and relax. Unfortunately, it's also the same day that Brenda likes to go into Manhattan and shop. Brenda didn't like living in the city, but she sure liked buying her clothes there.
In a lingerie shop, Richard's holding up a lacy see-through G-string.
Honey, why don't you get these? I like them.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's find your size so that you can wear them.
Oh, come on. We drove all the way to the city. You could have got those at the Panty Depot.
Oh, come on. No, I like these, and they're comfortable.
Richard?
And they're cute.
Richard. I thought you lived in Westchester. What are you doing here?
Hey. Nikki, Brenda. Brenda, Nikki.
Hi.
Hi.
Nikki's an old friend. What's it been like? 7, 8 years?
At least.
Nikki used to date Nelson, remember?
Yes, yes. right.
And who is this handsome guy?
Oh, well, that's my Brian. And that's Kelly.
Hi.
She's gorgeous, of course, like her mom.
Thank you. Say thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
But these are great. Where did you get these? Is this the Heavenly Collection?
No, they're from the Latifah Collection.
Okay. Stop. I don't know what they are, but I got them downstairs.
Well, I should go pay for these. It was really nice to meet you.
Yes.
And it was great seeing you, Richard.
Yo, great to see you.
Guys.
Bye-bye. Brenda watches her move away, then turns to her husband.
So she's the one that Nelson tried to kill himself over?
Yeah, he was going through a lot back then.
Huh. Yeah, I guess he was.
She flounces off. Nikki looks back at Richard with a flirtatious smile.
Gonna take these back. Okay, that was a lie. But big deal, I mean, nothing happened. Nikki's a friend, an old friend. I mean, I've known Nikki longer than I've known Brenda. She used to date Nelson. We had a lot of fun together. I mean, she makes me laugh. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Nikki's an old friend, a good friend, a friend I can't tell my wife about.
Morning, Richard. Nikki called 5 minutes ago. She said she'll be by at 6.
Is there something wrong?
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
He's on the phone to Brenda, who's sitting in an empty classroom.
Wall sconces?
Well, they're not expensive, and we can get an electrician to put them in.
What do you think of Art Deco?
Art Deco's fine.
Hey. If we go with Art Deco, we might have to reupholster the couch.
I thought we were talking about wall sconces.
Well, they have to match, honey. If they don't match, then I gotta change the rug. If I
guess you're right. Honey, could we talk about this later?
Yes, look, I have to go. It's parent-teacher night.
I fixed you a plate, so just heat it up when you get home.
Okay, so I'll talk to you later.
Nikki's in his office lighting a cigarette.
Wall sconces. Sounds fun. When exactly do you just start getting calls at work about wall sconces?
Right after you get married. I mean, before you get married, you get calls like,
I can't wait to suck your dick.
Then after you get married, you get calls like,
I can't wait for you to come home and see these drapes.
Poor Mr. Married Man. I hope you don't mind me stopping by like this, but I bought something for your kids. I haven't been able to stop thinking about you guys.
Hey, you didn't have to give me anything.
I know.
Thanks. Anyway, this stuff's expensive.
Oh, don't worry about it. I put it on Teddy's credit card.
So now I owe Teddy some money.
See, you're the expert. What do you think? But I make a good wife.
Nikki, you don't want to be a wife.
Okay.
You want a wedding. You want the show.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at?
Do you have any singles?
See, I should have about 7-8 bucks. What do you need?
Just give me all of it.
All right, I'm gonna have to break into my stripper stash.
She's perched herself on a ledge by a window she's opened. She flings a dollar down into the street.
What are you doing?
Feeding the fish. Come here. Look.
She lets go of a handful of money.
Okay, who is gonna get it? Oh, look at this guy.
A businessman does a U-turn.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! It's just a dollar, it's just a dollar! It's just a buck! It's decadent.
Try it.
All right, here we go.
Richard lets a wad of dollar bills tumble downwards.
Yeah! Oh, cause a riot.
Well done!
He tosses out another few notes.
Yes!
Oh, look at the homeless guy.
Oh, get the money. Oh, he needs it.
Never gonna get it. Nope, going too slow.
The homeless guy. Never you need that gonna money. Get it. Get it.
Nope. Oh. White man wins again.
Richard moves back into the office. Nikki lingers at the window, looking concerned. She turns back into the room and glances at Richard with a wry smile. He's got a contented grin on his face. Later, Richard's sitting on the commuter train.
That was fun. That was too much fun. You know what? I better take my wife out to dinner and get the stench of fun with another woman off of me.
I don't even want to go that way. You can't go down the FDR. Oh, God, it's insane. No. And don't.
Okay, this is safe. Dinner with Alan and Jennifer. Once you get married, you only hang out with other married people. Why? Because no single person could stand to be around you. It wasn't always like this. We all used to talk about sex, politics, art.
But now all we ever talk about is our kids.
Of course, I had to miss the end because I had a little exploding diaper problem.
And when it's not our kids, it's always the same conversation. First is the rap conversation.
Bitches, hoes, hoes, hoes in different area codes. I'm kind of wondering, did anybody have a nice mama? Was it a situation where their mama smacked them upside the head and they said, bitch?
Then there's the conversation about the Jews.
They had it just as bad as us.
Black folks need to take care of themselves just as well as the Jews
take
care of themselves.
We can't stick together. That's the problem. We're too busy buying spinning rims and gold teeth. You think Steven Spielberg had spinning rims?
And no group of people are too sophisticated to have a conversation about Michael Jackson.
I blame Joe.
Please, what grown-ass man sleeps in a bed with kids?
Michael Jackson just didn't have a child.
Hey, man, childhood's only 12, 15 years. Michael's like 50. How many sliding boards does this nigga need?
You know good and well you would not let that man babysit your kids.
I wouldn't let Michael Jackson watch my kids on TV.
Amen.
You can't confuse the little boy. I mean, give me a
break. A buxom young waitress brings a plate of bread to the table. Richard appears bewildered.
What do you know about a magic stick?
I take your drink orders.
Honey?
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Honey, can you just get me some water?
I think I'll take a ginger ale.
I was trying to.
Okay.
Excuse me. Can I talk to you for a second?
Is there a problem, sir?
Yes, there's a problem. See, I came here for a lovely dinner with my wife and some friends, and next thing I know is I got these big tits asking me if I want a drink.
Do you mean your wait person?
Listen, I'm with my wife. I don't need this shit. I don't need some girl with her big-ass village beaters asking me if I need some help. Is this Hooters?
No, sir.
Is it Hooters?
No, sir.
I know it's a Hooters, because if it is, you owe me some fucking buffalo wings.
Sir, what can I do to make this better?
Richard points to an elderly male waiter.
See that guy right there?
Yes, I do.
That's my waiter.
He pops money into the manager's top pocket.
Thank you, sir.
Another morning among the skyscrapers and office blocks of New York City. Traffic's pouring down a multi-lane street in the heart of Manhattan. Richard's strolling along the pavement in a grey suit and tie with his earphones in. He frowns as he spots something ahead of him and removes his earphones. Nikki's in front of him in a green outfit. She appears upset.
What are you doing here? You okay? Just got up and said it's over?
No, you don't understand. If we're fucking and I fall asleep, that's fine. If we're fucking and we both fall asleep, that's okay too. But if we're fucking and you fall asleep, it's fucked up. He didn't say it's over, but I know it's over.
You gotta excuse her. She's upset.
What the fuck are you looking at?
In the crowded lift, a middle-aged white woman tries her best to avert her gaze.
Stop coming up.
The secretaries shake their heads.
When Nikki came by to see me in the afternoon, it wasn't really a big deal. But when we walked through the office at 9 a.m.,
good morning.
People looked at me like I was crazy. I mean crazy.
In his office.
It's like we've been breaking up for months and I'm just finding out about it now.
Well, that's how relationships are. You add how long you've been together and then you divide it by two and that's how long you've been breaking up. So if you get a divorce after 20 years, you've been breaking up for 10.
That's right.
Nikki sits and attempts a smile.
So, can I stay with you for a couple days?
Nikki, my wife would...
Oh, I'm just playing with you. You should see the look on your face right now.
She picks up his MP3 player.
Okay, I'm not trying to get rid of you, Nikki, but I really...
You got some nigga ears.
Nigga what?
Some old ass nigga ears. Look at this. Lavert, Patti LaBelle, Luther Vandross. You know, white people make music too.
I got George Michael.
Doesn't count. Okay, I'm gonna give you my iPod. And you are gonna give me yours.
Okay.
When you get a chance, I want you to listen to that song.
Can I get back to work now?
Nikki sashays out of the office and past the secretaries who give her disapproving looks. Mr. Landis, a 60-something smartly dressed banking executive in a bow tie and beige Mac, stops outside Richard's office. Later on, Richard's back on the commuter train. He's got his earphones in and he's smiling to himself, nodding his head slightly.
I won't go getting tired of you. I won't go getting tired of you. I'm not getting tired.
In front of him, in the packed train, two alluring young dark-haired women are nodding their heads at him seductively. The next morning, Richard's strolling down the busy street towards his office with a thoughtful smile. He's standing in a lift with other businessmen and women. A wiry Italian-looking guy in a red sports jacket enters and puts on his headphones. He starts jigging manically from side to side.
Fuck the cracker, that's what I say. And fuck these bitches that always want to play. I'm the type of nigga that's never gay. If you fuck with me, I'll put your head in cake.
Wearing a little black dress, Nikki's perched on the edge of a sofa outside Richard's office. Tracy, his secretary, glares at her. Nikki gives her a broad smile, but she remains unmoved. Nikki glances at a younger, dark-haired secretary who averts her gaze. Nikki looks back at the older woman.
I think he might be off the phone.
She gives a little shrug. Wearing a dark suit, Tracy gets up, makes the most cursory of smiles at Nikki, and moves towards Richard's office.
Richard, that girl is here to see you.
Well, just send her in.
Richard, can I ask you something?
Hi.
It can wait.
Tracy leaves the room.
I don't think your secretaries like me.
They didn't like me either. You know, if you keep showing up like this, we're gonna have to get you a job here. People are gonna start talking.
Well, let them talk. I need you to do me a favor. Can you come uptown with me to look at a place?
You know, I got a lot of work to do.
I gotta get out of Teddy's, and he's supposed to be out of town. I'd like to be out by the time he gets back.
Are you okay?
Can you come with me?
Yeah. Let me just check.
Okay.
Tracy, what's my rest of the day look like?
You and George have a conference call at 3.
Yeah. George?
Yeah?
You need me for that call at 3?
I do. Why?
I gotta do something. I mean, I should be back, but if I'm not, you can handle it, right?
Yeah, I got it. Don't worry. Hi, I'm George.
Nikki.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
So I'll see you later?
You tell me.
Then a portly landlady with dark, scraped back hair leads Richard and Nikki down the corridor of an old apartment block.
You sure this is what you want?
It's what I can afford.
So where do you work?
A hostess at a place downtown called the White Bar.
Oh, that's nice.
She opens the door.
Well, here you go. Washer and dryer on the third floor. Payphone on the second floor. Don't knock on my door for change. Get your own damn quarters.
There was something in the ad about cable.
I got jumping cables if you need them.
Okay.
And don't blame me if the bed's not big enough for both of you. This place is really for students.
Oh, we are not a couple.
Yeah, I'm just a friend.
Oh, I guess that's a Super Bowl ring. You a Jet or a Packer? I wish one of your friends is paying the rent.
I am.
Sure you are, baby.
I never thought I'd be back in one of these.
This is where everybody ends up.
She leaves the downmarket little bedroom. Nighttime, Richard and Brenda are sitting in pajamas on their sofa watching the TV.
This is a project an experienced do-it-yourselfer could tackle. Since this shed is pre-cut and ready to assemble.
Hey, fellas.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Very well, thanks.
That doesn't look so hard. We can do that out back.
I'm getting splinters just watching this.
The next day, both in gray suits, Richard and George are walking along a pavement near their office.
I gotta hand it to you. You knocked it out the park. It looks like Eurotech may come aboard.
Hey, it's not a done deal. And when it gets done, I couldn't have done it without you. What do you say we go grab some lunch and celebrate?
I'd love to. But I got other plans.
Hey, guys. You ready?
Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Inside.
Be right back.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I won't keep you long.
No problem.
Richard and George head through revolving doors into the building's lobby.
Okay, what is it?
Are you aware of what you're getting yourself into?
What are you talking about?
Nikki, she's here every day.
George, she's just a friend.
Friend? Come on. I've had friends before. They don't fucking look like Nikki. Look, you got a good situation at home. You got 2 kids.
I'm not fucking her.
No, she's fucking you. You just don't know it.
I can't believe I'm hearing this shit from you, of all people. You cheat on your wife all the time. Last year, you were fucking Tracy and Mary. I didn't say shit to you.
That's different. I don't give a fuck. I can fuck a girl, go home, kiss my wife goodnight, and sleep like a baby. You, on the other hand, got emotions. You're like Captain Sabahoe, right? You like to be needed. And that bitch knows it.
Richard glares at him.
Are we done?
I'm not getting in your shit, all right? I just... Be careful, okay?
Richard comes back through the revolving door, looking a little troubled.
Hey. What's wrong? You look upset.
We can't do this anymore.
Do what? What are you talking about?
This whole lunch in the afternoon thing, it doesn't look good. We really should stop.
We're not doing anything. It's not like we're fucking.
It is like we're fucking. Only thing, we're not fucking, and I feel all the guilt as if I'm fucking you without any of the pleasure of actually fucking you. I don't want things to get any more complicated.
I'm not trying to complicate anything. I like you, Richard. I don't like a lot of people. I like you because you're safe. You don't want anything from me. Okay?
He rolls his eyes.
Okay. So you want to get something to eat?
No. I have something else planned.
A huge exhibition hall constructed of glass and steel houses the New York International Auto Show. There are many podiums displaying the latest shiny cars on top of them. People are wandering round admiring them all. There's a yellow Lamborghini and a Rolls-Royce with its distinctive winged emblem on the bonnet. Richard and Nikki join the throng of spectators.
Wow. I've been thinking about coming here.
I knew you'd like it.
They're sitting in a soft-top sports car.
You should have one of these.
Wanted one of these since I was a kid.
That I know.
And I'm keeping my seat. They're behind the wheels of a pair of racing car video games, which both show a red car bouncing off the concrete barriers at the roadside and flipping over. With a satisfied smile, Richard's sitting in another open-top sports car in between Nikki, who's behind the wheel, and a promotions girl who's in the passenger seat. In the living room of his house, Richard, in a grey polo shirt and jeans, is playing air guitar. His daughter, in an orange hooded top, is bouncing around on top of the sofa. Brenda marches into the room.
What is that? Richard! Richard, Brian's asleep!
With a look of determination, she turns a knob on the stereo.
What is that?
You don't like it?
No, I don't. And you're making the kids deaf.
Oh, come on, it's not that loud.
Yes, it is. And you know what? I was in my car the other day. Where did my CDs go? Where's my Peeble Bryson? Where's my Usher? Where's my Beyonce?
You know, you really got some nigger ears, honey.
Brenda frog marches Richard into the center of the room.
Nigger ears? How many times do I have to ask you not to talk in front of the kids like that? You know what? You just keep doing what you're doing. Because one of these days, they won't be asking where my daddy is. They'll be asking, where's my nigga?
Richard glances at his daughter.
Then what are you going to do? Oh. You know, I tried calling you yesterday, and no one could find you.
It's probably at lunch.
No, it was almost 4. Aren't you usually back by then? I mean, I tried calling you on your cell. I tried texting you. You didn't text me back.
What did you want?
What difference does it make what I wanted? That was yesterday. You have to tell people where you are. What if something happened to the kids? What if I got hit by a car?
Oh, come on. Why do you always have to take it to what if I got hit by a car? I went to the deli. I wanted a chicken salad sandwich. I stood on a line. When I got to the front of the line, I realized I didn't have a ticket, so I had to get back on the line. That's it.
You make it sound like an alibi. All you have to do is answer the phone.
I didn't hear it.
All right.
She shuts her eyes with resignation.
Tomorrow. Have you thought about what you want to do? Do you want to see a movie? You want to have brunch with Jennifer and Alan?
No. We do that all the time. Let's try something different.
Different?
Her face softens.
Okay.
The sun is streaming through the glass of the exhibition hall, where the auto show is again in progress. People are again milling around sleek sports cars and shiny luxury cars. Richard's in a grey turtleneck and jeans, pushing his two kids in a stroller. Brenda's in a white top and check knee-length shorts, looking down at a brochure.
Honey, let's go look at the new Porsche.
Why? No. In here that says that there's something over there that you're really gonna like. Oh, yeah. Come on. Let's go. Baby.
A metallic beige people carrier is on display. It's had the doors on one side of it removed and a dark-haired woman sitting in the driver's seat. The Coopers stand in front of it. Richard stares at it blankly. Brenda looks like she's fallen in love. She turns to Richard, who smiles limply. Other potential buyers are gathering around the car. Richard hangs his head. There's a banner nearby that says America's Favorite Minivan.
Going to the car show and looking at the minivans is like going to a strip club and looking at the DJ.
Richard, Landis and George are sitting with Japanese businessmen.
Mr. Cooper, what sectors have the most growth potential for our company?
Well, Mr. Uni, what we're finding now is that most advertising dollars are migrating online.
Everyone reaches into their pockets to check their phones.
Is that you?
Richard pulls out his mobile with a frown.
It's me. I probably should have.
Richard, I have an emergency.
I need to ask you something, but I'm afraid you're going to get mad at me.
I have to take this. Excuse me, I'll be right back.
He moves out of the glass-fronted room.
What's up? I can't really talk right now. I'm in a meeting.
Okay, really quick. Just promise you won't get mad at me.
I won't get mad.
You didn't promise.
Okay, I promise.
Will you come with me to get my stuff out of Teddy's apartment?
Didn't you hear me tell you I'm in a meeting?
Not today. Tomorrow.
Fine. Okay, I gotta go now.
Have a good meeting.
He steps back into the room, holding up his hands.
Three kids?
Yeah, could be better.
It's a small family emergency. It's under control.
Richard and Nikki are in the back of a New York taxi.
All right, so where does this guy live? Because I got things to do.
Shuttle's in like 45 minutes.
Shuttle? What are you talking about, shuttle?
To D.C. Remember I told you we have a place there and he's out of town, so now I can get my shit.
I'm not going with you to D.C.
You promised.
I didn't promise to go with you to another state.
It's not a state, it's a district. It's like a 30-minute flight.
You must be out of your fucking mind if you think I'm getting on a plane to Washington, D.C. to go to some guy's house to get your shit!
A jet plane lands on a runway. Captions, Washington, D.C. Nikki and Richard are coming down an escalator. George is in his office on his hands free.
Richard? Not Richard, yeah. I have one question. Where the fuck are you?
No, don't worry, I'll be there. Yeah, something just came up.
Well, just get here, okay? I told you I need you on this one.
Tell Mary that if Nikki calls, I'll call her tomorrow.
Tell her yourself when you get here.
You're a good liar.
Listen, we're getting on a 1 o'clock shuttle. Not a moment later, okay? Because I got a meeting at 3.
Okay.
The dome-topped Capitol building looms large behind a busy Washington street. A taxi comes round a corner into a rundown area of the city. There's a policeman beside a patrol car, which the taxi moves past.
Right here.
Here?
Uh-huh.
What are all these cops doing here?
It's kind of a crazy neighborhood. Something's always going down.
We'll be right back, okay.
They get out of the car and enter an old building covered in graffiti. They head up a bare staircase.
So how many cities have you lived in with this Teddy guy?
Here, in New York. In Miami, I lived with his brother. That's where I met him.
Wait, you lived with a guy, then you left him for his brother? How'd you pull that off? I got a hard enough time telling my wife I want pancakes.
We're in.
She opens the heavy steel door and puts on a light. The apartment is loft style, a large open-plan room with modern furnishings.
All right, now that we're in, I want you to get your shit and let's get out of here.
I'm just gonna grab a few dresses, some shoes, and then we'll go.
Okay. Thank you. Forget thank you, just hurry up.
She moves over to a bedroom and picks up some cases. Richard starts to look round the place.
Teddy's doing pretty good.
Richard bends over a coffee table and starts to flick through a photo album. There's a picture of Nikki sitting on some steps with other students captioned Mathematics Club.
You on a math team in high school?
For 2 years, why?
I don't know. Just can't imagine you solving a problem.
My Ferretti sweater. I had no idea where this was.
She takes off her top, revealing her little black bra underneath. Richard frowns and tilts his head slightly as he watches her.
Richard Cooper's office. Hi, Brenda.
Richard picks up CDs.
Hey, somebody around here's got some nigga ears.
Excuse me?
Biz Markie's greatest hits?
That man is a genius.
The genius that wrote Pickin' Boogers. Pickin' Boogers, The Vapors, and of course my favorite. You got what I need.
But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need.
An An African-American man enters the flat, looking furious.
Okay, Teddy, calm down. You know you got two strikes. There's cops all over the place.
How the fuck y'all getting in, man? Huh? Who the fuck are you? Huh?
Teddy approaches Richard.
What, this the new nigga? You fucking him now? Huh? You the new nigga, man?
No, I'm not the new nigga. I've never been a nigga. I'm just a friend. How's it going, Richard Cooper?
Teddy floors him with a slap.
Motherfucker!
Motherfucker!
You stupid-ass nigga! In my fucking crib! Take the boot! Take the boot! Take the motherfucking boot!
Hi, Mr. Landis. Tracy.
Cops enter the flat.
Everybody, crack it down, motherfucker!
Hey, him down.
He's in a conference meeting.
Don't worry, y'all.
All right?
We good. Everything good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
This motherfucker broke into my crib with this...
Watch it!
Teddy's dragged to the floor by the cops and beaten with batons. Richard and Nikki make a hasty exit down the stairs.
Wait, we can't do this.
Oh, yes, we can!
I'm sorry.
What the hell is wrong with you? He could have killed us. You told me he was out of town.
Sorry.
Now the damn cop's coming here. What the hell is wrong with you? I should be in a meeting right now.
In the back of the cab, she shuts him up with a strong, searching kiss.
No.
He looks at his watch. It's nearly 1:45.
Could you hurry up?
Nikki presses her fist against her lip thoughtfully. Then Richard's hurrying her across an airport concourse. Richard's stopped as he passes through the metal detector and a guard scans him with a wand-style implement. In the conference room of Pupkin and Langford, a Japanese businessman looks at his watch. It's just 3:00.
I don't care about Thriller. What kind of grown man has kids sleeping in his bed?
I'll never babysit my kids.
Look, we don't have all day.
I'm sorry, Mr. Uni. I'm sure Mr. Cooper will be here in a moment with the prospectus.
Landis leans to George.
Where the fuck is he?
I'm sure he's got a good explanation.
Tracy enters the room.
Excuse me, George. There's a call for you in your office.
Excuse me.
Actually, I like Thriller. Michael's last big one.
Yeah. Well, I knew he was going to be a star. I saw him with Ed Sullivan.
A sign at the departure gate says NYLGA delayed.
George.
I've been trying to cover for you. They want to start. Where the fuck are you? Landis is pissed.
I'm not going to make it.
Fuck. Hey, Anita. How you doing?
George, calm down.
You can do this. You can handle it.
No. Just calm down.
Damn it, Richard. You're killing me.
George peers out of his office towards the conference room.
I hope she's worth it.
Richard folds up his phone and puffs out, shutting his eyes.
Fuck!
George strides swiftly back into the conference room.
I'm afraid we either have to get started or we have to go. We have another appointment.
Can we get started?
Of course, absolutely. Okay, Mr. Uni, my apologies, but I have been working very closely with Mr. Cooper on this, and I'm prepared to work. If you take a look at page three, performance chart from the 19th.
But the Japanese businessmen are all leaving the room. Later, back at his house, Richard wanders into the kitchen where Brenda's doing the washing up with a little TV on beside her.
Hey, baby, you're late. What happened?
I got in a fight.
A fight? Why? What happened?
I was pulling the car out the lot, and this guy cut me off, and he gets out of his car, then I got out of my car, and next thing I know, we're on the ground with...
No, stop. That's the dumbest shit in the world. I can't believe you're a grown man! All right, Delahoya, you know what? You put the dishes away, and I'm gonna go upstairs. I'm gonna pretend I'm married to a grown man.
Richard looks a little sorry for himself. He becomes aware of the TV behind him.
Washington, D.C. man named Teddy Smith shot and wounded two police officers. He was later apprehended after a violent standoff. More news after the break.
The next day, a train is pulling out of the station. Later in the offices, Richard's trudging past Tracy's desk. He stops in the doorway to his office and pulls the flight boarding card from his pocket.
Shit.
He rips it up and sighs. Landis is heading towards his office too. Then they're in the conference room. Richard's sitting at one end. Landis is standing at the other.
Cooper, you're a good banker. You brought a lot of money to this company. Do you think you've brought a lot of money into this company?
Yeah, I've brought some money in.
Well, in all the years you've been here, you brought in close to $20 million. That's a lot of money, right? Right?
I guess so.
He holds up a coin.
See this quarter? See it?
Yes, I see it.
This quarter is you. This is $20 million. You see this table? This is Pupkin and Langford. This is $800 million. This is your value to the company. You're on probation. Any more problems, you're fired. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Landis picks up the coin.
You know, Cooper, you can lose a lot of money chasing women, but you'll never lose women chasing money.
With a pointed look at Richard, he leaves the room. The young banker watches him go and remains in his seat, thoughtful. He slowly lowers his head down until it's resting on the table. Then he's back in his office.
I got lucky. I still had my job. I still had my family. All I had to do was one thing.
Nikki is on line one.
Tell her I'm not here.
Sure.
Tracy moves back to her desk. Richard thinks to himself and looks at his computer screen. Next day, he's entering the company's offices. He gives a few of his colleagues cursory smiles and nods and moves past Tracy's desk.
Nikki called twice. What should I tell her before?
Just tell her I'm not here.
He strolls into his office. Tracy's having lunch at her desk, talking to a female colleague. She picks up the phone.
Richard Cooper's office.
I'm not here.
He's not in the office right now. Can I take a message? Oh, well, can you let him know that I called?
Tell her I'm dead.
Okay.
Really dead.
Will do, Nikki.
Really dead.
Yes.
Nikki's in the street. She holds up her hand to hail a cab. In the Cooper's house, there's a cowboy on TV. Kelly's lounging on the sofa watching it, Richard in a sweatshirt sitting beside her looking bored. Brenda's next to him asleep. Next morning, back in business attire, Richard's on a station platform. A train slows to a stop in front of him. He joins the throng of commuters entering the carriage. He appears pensive. Later, he's at an independent record shop. He picks up a CD by The Killers off a rack. A bespectacled, smartly dressed African-American man of a similar age is standing nearby.
Killers? I always thought you were more of a Wu-Tang guy.
Nelson? Get out of here. Long time no see.
Yeah. Same to you, Mr. Wall Street. Are you still working down at Pupkin and Langford?
Yeah, I think I'm still there. We'll see how long that lasts. So what are you up to?
Oh, shit, nothing much. Doing a little work for the legal defense fund. It's going okay. Figured I'd come in here and pick up a few CDs. Pretty soon, the only place you'll be able to buy them is at Starbucks.
I know, and they don't sell any rap at Starbucks. Yeah. I guess you want some rap, you gotta go to a liquor store.
Yeah, let me get a pint of Jack and that Ja Rule. Hey, guess who I saw 2 weeks ago? Nikki. She said she's bumped into you or something, right?
Richard freezes.
Yeah. She came by the office. So, how was that for you? I mean, you guys had a pretty bad breakup.
No, it was actually kind of cool to see her again. I mean, if I run into her without my medication, who knows? But, we talked for a minute. I'm caught up. Gotta tell you, Rich, man, she still look good. I mean, she's fine. Just the way she's shaping. I mean, you see her skin? Did you saw her? I mean, it's smooth. I looked at her, I kept watching her. Next thing I know, I've been looking up for 20 minutes. Now I realized I was following her, you know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't creepy or nothing, you know? I don't think she saw me. And I'm just gonna, you know, stay away. I'm getting my life together. Anyway, if you see Nikki, you tell her I said hello. No, don't. Good to see you, Rich.
Back at Pupkin and Langford, Richard moves past his secretary's desk.
Richard, I have some messages for you.
Tracy passes Richard a handful of little pieces of paper, which he flicks through.
Did Nikki call?
No, she didn't. Guess she finally got the hint.
Richard frowns and nods. He strolls into his office. Still thoughtful, he's sitting beside his open window, casually tossing dollar bills down into the street. The paper money floats downwards, gently buffeted by the breeze. Later, he's looking through a window into a bar restaurant. Nikki is at the reception desk, staring into space. Richard enters the building.
Hey. What are you doing here? Can I ask a question? It's personal.
Go right ahead.
Why are you still married? I mean, you never really seemed like the marrying type, and now even though you say you're happy, I don't think you are.
I'm happy. I mean, when I got with Brenda, I decided to settle down. I mean, she's a great mother, and I love her.
See, you don't say it right.
You go through this shit again. How was I supposed to say it, Nikki?
You're supposed to say that you love her and you can't live without her. You just sound indebted. You're not in love, you're in loyal.
Well, at least I'm in something. At least I have a family. What do you have?
Oh, don't throw that family shit at me. You and your wife, you don't talk, you don't fuck. If that's what family is, I'll wait.
For what, Nikki? What are you waiting for?
For the real thing. Love. Or at least a sponsor, but I'm not settling.
You ever think about getting a skill?
Oh, I got skills.
She looks him up and down and smirks.
What are you doing here?
Well, no, we're friends, right?
Yeah. We're friends. Come on, I gotta get back to work. You should come out with me tonight.
I'm not going out with you.
I need you to.
What for? What's going on?
Well, there's this guy, he's really into me. I'm not sure what I think about him, so I want you to come and tell me what you think.
After DC, I have no desire to meet any more of your boyfriends.
What, are you jealous?
No. Okay, well, who's this guy? What's his name?
Compassion.
Compassion? What? Compassion fruit? Compassion Luther King? Compassionate?
Compassion! Just come, it'll be a blast. You know, we'll eat onion rings till 4 a.m. It'll be like old times.
So what am I gonna tell my wife?
I don't know. Just start a fight.
At the dinner table.
Chicken? Yes. What is wrong? Chicken again? We have chicken every day. I'm tired of chicken.
I thought you liked chicken.
I like it, but I don't like it every day. I mean, I feel like I got feathers coming out my ass.
All right, this isn't about chicken because I know you like chicken.
No. You know what? You know what this is about? This is about all the other animals out there that are dying to be eaten that we don't eat. Have you ever heard of lamb chops? Have you ever heard of pork chops? Can a nigga get a taco?
Are you crazy?
I'm losing my finger licking mine right now eating all this chicken. I can't take it anymore. Chicken hawks don't eat this much chicken. You know what? I'm gone. I can't take it.
Where are you going?
To get some duck.
Brenda watches open-mouthed as he leaves. Still in his suit and grey raincoat, he's waiting on the station platform. Then he's sitting on the train.
What the hell is wrong with me? How could I talk to Brenda like that? I'm losing my mind. I gotta go home. Okay, next stop, I'm getting off this train, and I'm gonna go home to Brenda. That's what I'm gonna do. I am going home.
A crowded club.
So I just got off the phone with Nikki, and she went a little bit late, but she said she is gonna be here.
Late? How late?
I'm not really sure, but she told me to take good care of you, and I will. So don't worry about it. She'll be here.
So she's gonna be here, right?
She's gonna be here. Don't worry.
At home, Brenda's sitting at the dinner table. Staring into space, she reaches for the wine bottle and pours herself another glass. Richard's sitting at a bar, arms folded, looking miserable. A blonde woman squeezes up next to him to make an order. Richard's unimpressed. Brenda enters her bedroom. She pulls out a dresser drawer and unloads its contents onto the bed. She starts to sift through the items. She looks through some business cards and tosses them away. She holds up a bedside book and shakes it to see if anything will fall out. Richard taps the arm of the young woman who accompanied him into the club.
Have you seen Nikki?
No, she hasn't called, but she will. Dance, there's a lot of girls here.
Brenda's going through her husband's suits.
Fuck this.
She flings several of them onto the bed.
Where is it?
She feels in his pockets.
Oh, nice suit. I just wanted something different with your green shirt.
Richard's still at the bar, looking glum as the party continues around him. He's being bumped and jostled by the revelers. Brenda's sitting in front of a PC, checking the emails. A photo of a naked Oriental girl appears.
Motherfucker. Asian women. I thought he was done with that bullshit.
Richard's now on his feet. Two young women smile at him.
Did you wear it yet?
Excuse me?
The shirt. I sold you a shirt, like, a month ago. You worked at the men's section in Saks?
Yeah, I remember you guys. You sold me the green shirt. What are you doing here?
Just hanging out. We come here every week. Wednesday's the best night. What are you doing here?
I'm waiting for someone.
Okay, well, we're gonna go smoke this. You wanna come?
I really shouldn't. I should.
Come on. It's totally natural. I got it from, like, this doctrine.
All right, just a little bit.
Well, what kind of chicken did you cook him?
He was just supposed to go out to get something to eat, and that was almost 4 hours ago.
Did you go through his pockets?
Yes, I checked his pockets.
Did you find anything on his computer?
Just a little Asian porn, but nothing serious.
I'm sure he's somewhere right now, just clearing his head.
Richard's sipping champagne and smoking a dubious cigarette, sitting on a couch between the two sales girls.
I called him. He hasn't answered.
Richard is a responsible guy. I'm sure you don't have anything to worry about.
On the dance floor, his tie loosened and holding the champagne bottle, he's dancing with the girls, flinging his head back.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right.
The group of the clubbers are dancing round a little table at which there's more champagne. Richard, looking a little drunk, adjusts his glasses and taps Nikki's friend on the shoulder.
Have you heard from Nikki?
I just got off the phone with her. She told me to tell you she's sorry, but she's not going to be able to make it. She's going to Miami with some guy named Compassion. Something about Buffy having a party.
Looking a little distressed, he staggers through the partygoers. He bumps shoulders with a couple of guys as he moves past them. One of them glares at him. The train stops at his station. Richard gets out. He's struggling to put on his raincoat. Still trying to put it on, he's hurrying along a subway passage. He rushes up the steps towards his house. He opens the front door and creeps into the corridor. He adjusts the collar on his Mac and starts to do up his tie. He stops and turns. Brenda's sitting on the stairs, glaring at him.
Where have you been?
Richard looks a little shocked.
I'm sorry. Fuck sorry. What kind of food did you go out to get that takes 5 goddamn hours?
Brenda?
Brenda, shit. Don't you say my name. Are you fucking somebody? Because I swear to God, if I find out you're fucking somebody...
It's not that. It's work. I lost a client, and they put me on probation. Now, I wanted to tell you, but I didn't want you to get upset.
Where have you been?
I was at the sports bar watching the Knicks game.
The game has been over.
I know.
Don't you ever do any shit like this to me, kid. Do you hear me? I don't know what's going on with you, but you fix it.
She turns and starts to climb the stairs.
I'm sorry.
Should be.
He stares up at her, open-mouthed. The next morning, on the crowded station platform, he's got his mobile phone to his ear.
Hi, this is Nikki. I'm not here to take your call, so remember, love is God, God is love. Peace.
Nikki? Richard. I don't know what happened to you last night, and I don't really care. I'm married, you're single. Don't call me, don't come by the office, don't email me, don't fax me, just leave me the fuck alone. You got it? Just leave me the fuck alone. Thank you.
He puts the phone back in his pocket. Later, he's strolling through the offices.
Good night. Go home, Tracy.
Good night, Richard.
George is speaking to the young brunette secretary.
Let's tell Russell I can do a late lunch, and then we'll talk about that other thing. You want to ride?
Yeah, sure.
Nighttime. George and Richard are in George's black Merc, which pulls up to the curbside.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. Brenda's so fucking mad, I'm scared.
Hey, buddy, now is damage control. I'll tell you what to do. This weekend, you get a babysitter, take your wife out to a nice dinner, right? See a bullshit chick flick, whatever she wants. You take one of these, and you fuck your wife like you're a porn star.
You keep Viagra in the glove compartment?
Yeah, right next to the Altoids. I may not look like Brad Pitt, but I can fuck like him. Seriously, take this, show Brenda a good time, and stay away from Nikki. You got a good wife.
George swallows a pill.
What are you doing?
I got a date with the intern from the third floor.
God damn!
She's 23. Might need to take two.
And you're happily married?
17 years.
Good night. All right.
Richard gets out of the car, slings the strap of his briefcase over his shoulder, and starts to cross the road.
I'm gonna take George's advice. Because even though he cheats on his wife and pops pills, unlike our therapist, he's married.
Then, in casual clothes, Richard and Brenda enter the house. The babysitter's asleep on the sofa.
That was incredible.
I know. Fantastic.
Oh, next time we gotta take the kids.
Absolutely, they'd love it.
How long do you think she's been out?
Hours.
No, sometimes I think they put her to bed.
Probably, yeah. Look, I'm gonna go check on the kids.
No. I'll check on the kids. I'll get rid of Rebecca. Then I'll see you upstairs.
Okay.
Brenda heads upstairs. Richard moves over to the sleeping babysitter and swipes away the blanket covering her.
Gotta go.
Wow, when'd you get back?
Just got back. Gotta go.
Well, the kids were really great today.
I'm sure they are. Gotta go.
They all went to bed about 8:30.
8:30, gotta go.
It was really cute. They came up with this little song.
All right. You gotta go song. Gotta go.
Richard stands in the doorway to Brian's room and smiles to himself. Then he bends over his sleeping daughter.
Daddy loves you.
He kisses the little girl on the cheek. In the bathroom, he's holding the blue pill in his palm. He pours some water into his hand and swallows the pill. He purses his lips and leaves the room. With a satisfied grin, he stands in his bedroom doorway and starts to remove his jumper. Brenda's fast asleep on her back on the bed. Richard's face drops. Later, he's in bed. Brenda's asleep next to him. He's looking thoroughly bored, flicking through a magazine, and something is very definitely standing to attention under the covers. Captions: 4 hours later. Richard sits up and stares in disbelief at the tumescent bulge in the bedclothes. He shakes his head in horror. Then he's on the phone in the utility room.
George, we got a problem.
Better be a problem. It's 3 a.m.
Hey, I took that Viagra pill you gave me. Took it around 11 o'clock and I'm still hard.
Yeah, so what's the problem?
I'm still hard, George. I've been hard for 4 hours. This thing won't go down.
Well, did you relieve yourself?
Did I relieve myself? Yes, I've come like 3 times and I'm still hard. It's all because of you.
Who the hell are you talking to?
Brenda stares at the lump in his pajamas.
Are you talking to some little bitch? Are you talking to some whore in my house?
No. It's George.
George? What kind of down low shit is that?
George, I gotta go. It's not what you think. I did this all for you.
Oh, for me?
I wanted to have great sex with you. So I got a Viagra pill from George, and I came upstairs, and you were sound asleep. And I've just been hard for like 4 hours.
You've been hard for 4 hours?
Honey, you gotta help. You gotta.
Keep that thing away from me.
She reaches for the phone.
What are you doing?
You know what that commercial says. Well, if you've taken a Viagra and you've had an erection for longer than 4 hours, then you call a physician. I'm calling Dr. Crothers.
It's 3 a.m.
No, and he's not in.
Okay, so what are we gonna do?
Richard's on a stretcher in an ambulance. A female paramedic is checking him.
Okay, how much longer before we get to the hospital?
About 15 minutes, sir. Are you sure you only took one?
Honey, if you took more than one, just say something.
I just took one, okay? That's it.
No, this ice isn't working.
What do you mean the ice isn't working?
How's your eyesight? Is it clear? Is it blurry?
It's a little blurry. Well, what does that mean?
Could mean nothing, or it could mean you're going blind. You're suffering from severe priapism. I don't think we have time to wait. I'm gonna have to do something about this now.
Well, what's going on?
I'm gonna have to perform a therapeutic aspiration.
Oh my God, you sure? A
therapeutic aspiration. I'm gonna stick this needle into the side of your penis and draw blood directly from the cavernosa.
Get the fuck out of here!
I promise you it won't hurt, you'll just feel a pinch.
Brenda!
Calm down!
No!
Blood's drawn up into the end of the syringe. Morning. At the station, Richard's wandering along the platform in his suit and raincoat, frowning to himself.
After all my drama, looking at other women just made me mad. Look at her. She should do that shit at home. Fucking skank. And look at this one. Send an email, slut. Nobody wants to talk to you.
A woman just wearing black lingerie.
And look at this one. Okay, I'm not mad at her. I mean, who could be mad at her? But I'm not gonna look. I'm gonna just keep on going. Because I am done making stupid mistakes. From now on, it's family first.
A colorful sign says Merry Music. Inside a large classroom, Richard, Brenda, and the kids are sitting cross-legged in a circle with other parents and children. There's a gray-haired guy with a guitar who appears to be leading the singing.
Itsy bitsy spider went up the spout again.
In a shopping mall, the Coopers are gathered round an African-American Santa Claus posing for a photo. Then, in the same spot in the mall, Richard and his family are having a photo taken with the Easter Bunny. Halloween. At the Cooper's house, Brenda, in a ballerina's outfit, is doling out treats. Back at the office, Tracy's leaning against Richard's chair.
All right, we're going to start with these accounts and then work our way to the new ones. You better order in because we got a lot of work to do.
Nikki stands in the doorway in a smart beige suit.
Miss me?
If she had called, I could have hung up on her, no problem. But seeing her in person so close, I was defenseless.
In the Courtyard restaurant.
I have a fiancé now, Sean.
Get out of here. You're getting married?
Yeah.
Nikki True is walking down the aisle?
I'm closing the deal. Sean is in real estate.
What happened?
I was at this party. I was talking to this guy. I don't even remember what we were talking about. And this little 22-year-old girl walks by. And he was like, oh, excuse me, I gotta... And it hit me. Now I'm 32 years old. I'm the old bitch at the club now. I think it was the first time in my life I was talking to a man who wasn't even thinking about fucking me.
She mulls over her next words.
So then I met Sean. And I said to myself, I gotta make this work. So we're getting married in June, and I want you to meet him.
Wow.
Let me get this. You always get it.
You sure?
She smiles coyly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Back at his house, Richard's on all fours with his tie round his head chasing his daughter.
Almost got you. Daddy's gonna get you.
Hey, how was work?
Pretty good. Remember Nikki? She came by today.
Uh-huh, yeah.
She's getting married to some guy.
Great. Yeah, I hope he has insurance.
Rebecca and Brian are waiting for you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna get Kelly!
Then he's approaching a people carrier carrying a stack of nappies. A shop assistant is following him, pushing a trolley laden with kitchen roll and more nappies. Richard lifts up the boot of the car and starts to load it up. Then Richard and Brenda are sitting in the counselor's office.
Yeah, I am so glad you two are making such progress. I wasn't sure we'd make it this far.
Yeah, I just decided to stop complaining about all the things I didn't have and start appreciating the things I did.
That is what I want to hear from both of you, getting along and appreciating what you have. So, how are things physically?
Oh, well, we're not quite having sex yet. But hey, we are getting along and it's not all about sex, right?
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to appreciate the non-sex that we're having. You know, you don't have to have sex to show somebody you love them.
The counselor smiles.
I see.
And writes delusional on her pad.
What you writing?
Oh, nothing.
It's a sunny day. A yellow New York taxi heads down a street and stops at a corner where Nikki's waiting with a smartly dressed, middle-aged African-American man. Richard gets out of the cab.
Guys, I am so sorry I'm late. Something came up at the office.
Not a problem. Richard, this is Sean. Sean Richard.
Nikki tells me you work at Pumpkin and Langford. You know Matt Landis?
Yeah, that's my boss.
I feel sorry for you. Well, next time you see him, tell him Sean Waters said hello. I wish you would have shown up earlier. You know, I have to go and take care of a few things.
Hmm. Will you call me when you're done?
Don't forget. Nobu at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
In a bar.
This is what you want. You're getting married. Do you love him?
Do I love him? In a few years, maybe. I'm gonna be like you. You know, I'm gonna have a nice house, a nice husband, a couple kids, a nice, easy, dull, boring life. And I will never again have to live in a tiny-ass studio apartment.
Come on, don't hurt the guy.
What do you care? You hurt?
Don't go there.
You started it. Do I love him? You know, we could be really happy together, you and me. Don't you want to be happy?
He shakes his head.
My life's not about what I want.
I hear ice cracking. Careful not to drown, Richie.
With glum faces, they leave the bar.
So Sean leaves for LA in the morning. I don't leave till Wednesday. So why don't you come by tomorrow and we can have a proper goodbye?
He winces slightly.
You know, Nick, I'm not sure.
I will call you with the address and I will see you at 2.
Nighttime. An elderly cleaner is vacuuming the empty offices of Pupkin and Langford. The lights start to go out. Brenda and Richard are in bed. Richard's wide awake, staring at the wall. Brenda lifts her head.
Richard? Baby, you up?
He shuts his eyes.
When I woke up this morning, I had no idea what I was going to do. You know, some people say life is short and that you could get hit by a bus at any moment and that you have to live each day like it's your last. Bullshit. Life is long. You're probably not gonna get hit by a bus. And you're gonna have to live with the choices you make for the next 50 years.
Richard's in his office talking to businessmen. He glances at his watch. Then he's in a meeting with George and other executives.
Longstein and Coco. He speaks Japanese, and he's gay. I only say that because I took him to school his last Tuesday. Disaster. All right. See what you can do. All right, big guy wants us all to concentrate on
Richard looks at the clock. It's 1:05.
When two people admit that they're attracted to each other, they're no longer in control. The relationship has to play itself out, for better or for worse.
Richard leaves the office.
Where's he going?
Lunch, Tracy.
He's at a chemist, standing in front of a long shelf of bottles of mouthwash. He walks slowly along the row, then approaches the shop's counter, where a middle-aged woman in a red pinafore is serving a young boy, who pays for some sweets and leaves.
Thank you.
Excuse me?
Uh-huh.
He waits while a businessman moves past him.
Do you have any condoms?
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
There's a queue behind him.
Condoms?
Oh, condoms, sure. What kind you want?
Quiet ones? Let me just get the blue.
3-pack or 12-pack?
3.
12-pack is cheaper.
Look, can you just get me some fucking condoms?
He puts cash on the counter.
I don't have change of a 20. Hey, Bob, you have change of a 20?
You gotta have change of a 20.
Bob, the man needs his condoms.
You know what? Just keep it. Well, just keep it.
Well.
An old-fashioned white apartment building on a street corner. The lift doors open and he strolls into a luxury apartment. He's standing in front of an ornately carved sideboard upon which is an antique Chinese statuette and other artifacts.
Nikki?
I'm in here.
Nikki's in the bathroom in a black bra and knickers and high-heeled shoes. She's moisturizing her legs with one foot on the edge of the bath.
You're here. I thought you might get scared and not show up.
Scared? Scared of what?
I don't know. Just scared. You want to help me with this?
Yeah, sure. Sure, I'll help you.
He takes the bottle and some cream spurts out of the end of it.
Ooh. Sorry. Sorry, just...
It's okay.
Okay.
He starts to rub cream into her back.
Just got here and you're putting me to work.
He's stroking her lower back.
I think I Got it.
No, not yet, but you will.
She kisses him gently on the lips.
You like my shoes?
You wearing shoes? Yeah, I like them.
You mind if I keep them on?
She leaves the bathroom.
Go right ahead.
He enters the bedroom. Nikki's lying on her front, leaning up on her elbows on the bed. She glances at him confidently.
What are you doing all the way over there? Thought you weren't scared.
I'm just taking it all in. You look real good, Nikki.
Why don't you take it all in a little closer? I'm not gonna bite.
She sits up and leans back against the headboard. Richard kneels on the bed and crawls towards her.
I'm gonna miss you.
He starts to rub her legs.
So what are you waiting for?
He slowly peels off her knickers. He eases her knickers over her high heels with a serious expression. He starts to kiss her legs. There's a wardrobe mirror next to him. With increasing urgency, he takes off his jacket and starts to undo his tie. Nikki's gazing up at him, panting. Richard pulls his loosened tie up. As it gets halfway up his forehead, he looks at himself in the mirror and stops. His tie's around his forehead, as it was while he was playing with his kids. He starts to shake his head and picks up his jacket.
Richard, stop it! No, stop. What are you doing?
He leaves the room.
Richard!
Life is about choice. We're all the sum of our choices. And most of them are made for us. You can't choose when you're born. You can't choose where you're born. You can't choose your family. You can't even choose who you love. But you can choose how you love.
On the train, he's put his wedding ring back on. He runs into his house. He comes in through the front door, and with a concerned expression, he moves briskly through the house. With a cup in her hand, Brenda's standing near a sofa, which is just off the kitchen area.
Richard, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, honey, what are you doing home so early?
Where are the kids?
I just dropped them off at my mother's house. Hey, you're scaring me. What's going on?
I missed you.
I miss you, too. What's happening to us?
I don't know.
I feel like it's my fault that we're not as close as we used to be.
It's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to do. Is it too late?
I don't know.
You know, baby, I just want to tell you how sorry I am for being so cold. It's not like I don't like being married. It's just that sometimes it feels like the walls are closing in on me.
Now, hold on one minute. Whatever you did to yourself. Because I've been running around here trying to make a nice life for us, taking care of the kids, being every woman. But lately, you've been cold as ice, so cold.
So have you.
I'll grow up.
You know it's true.
Look, I know none of this is easy, but I miss us. I miss what we had. I miss it to the core, and I just need to know, how come we don't fuck anymore?
You the one on strike.
It's been a mighty long time.
You out of your fucking mind.
Careful, nigga.
Baby, I still want you, and I've wanted you for so long, but every time I've touched you, you act like I did something wrong. Yes, you do. I don't want to leave.
Neither do I.
I still want you.
I'm going to cry.
Where are the kids?
I told you they're gone.
In that case, we should be making love.
All night long. All night long.
All night long.
They tumble onto the sofa, clutching each other and kissing passionately.
When I told Nikki that my life wasn't about what I wanted, I lied. I'm not that unselfish. I know exactly what I want. I want a woman that'll not only fight with me, but who'll fight for me. A woman I can go to war with who'll drag me and my kids out alive. A woman that can see the good in me when I can't even see it in myself. You know, Nikki was a great fantasy. But in reality, I think I love my wife.
On the commuter train, Richard shakes his head as a slim blonde woman passes him in the aisle. The end.
Since you